This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. We thank you for joining us and count it a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening. We trust the broadcast to be a blessing to you. And I'd like to begin it with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Fathers, we bow before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this opportunity to be here on the radio. Thank you for each and every one of the listeners that's joined us, the announcers that's putting us on the air. Lord, I pray that you'd bless and do and have your will and your way during this time. Lord, I pray that the word of God would go out and find good ground, and it'll accomplish that whereunto you please. And Lord, we want to give you the glory and honor for all that you've done for us. Lord, I thank you for saving an old wretch like me. Lord, I do ask you today once again that the word of God would just get in hearts. We need you, Lord. I mean, truly, we need you in this day and hour as we see things coming upon the face of the earth. We need your help, your encouragement, Lord. Need your spirit just to strengthen us. And Lord, we ask you one more time, for Jesus' sake, bless the listeners. We'll give you the glory and honor for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brethren, let me make just a few quick announcements concerning the work that we're engaged in. I ask you to continue to pray for us, pray for our children's homes, the one here in Bristol, Tennessee, one in North India, one in South India, one in Romania, as well as the feeding centers in Romania and Bulgaria, where they feed the children daily, as well as all the missionaries that's in those countries, and Romania, Bulgaria, the Ukraine, and all around the world, really. Those are the ones that we are dealing with now. And the Lord has opened a great and effectual door, and I'm thankful for that. If you would continue, please, to pray for them. I would like to mention this also for those that are interested. For the last several years, I don't even know how long it's been now, I guess over 20 years, maybe a little bit longer than that, we've been trying to feed those folks in Romania and Bulgaria during the winter part of the months. We get each one of the families 110 pounds of flour and 5 liters of oil, and this really helps them during the winter time when there are no jobs or anything like that, and they have no means, have no government income. And so I was looking at some paperwork that we'd sent out years ago. I think it was in 2009. There's around 1,500 families that was fed, and the price at that time was about $37,000. And then I was looking at a letter we sent out last year, and I think there's around 2,200 families that's fed, 700 more families than in 9, and then the cost of it's around $70,000. And I thought, well, that's a blessing, isn't it? I mean, over the last several years, I mean, many, many, many people have gotten saved, and the flour and oil, the prices have gone up, and the people, the numbers have gone up, and all of that. Everything seems to have changed. But I thought about it this way. I'm glad the Lord hasn't changed. I'm glad he's able to save. I'm glad he's able to feed. And I want to say this. I appreciate each and every one of you all that help us with this endeavor. Really, it's the Lord doing it, but he uses you to do that. I'm glad that you've got a heart sensitive and will listen to him. And we want to ask you to do it again. We want to ask you to be part of this and just to help feed these folks, and especially these feeding centers and things like that. If it wasn't for these feeding centers, these children wouldn't eat on a daily basis. And the Lord, I believe, greatly appreciates all that you've done and will do. It's almost like in days of Samuel, when there wasn't no open vision. Those are scary times, but if you've got a heart that's sensitive to the Holy Ghost and will allow him to speak to you, and if he does and ask you to help in this, we'd greatly appreciate it. And I do want to say this, anything that you send, every penny of it goes to where you send it. I don't take nothing out of it. Nobody else does. And I believe it ought to go where you send it. And we want to thank you once again for what you've done and what you're going to do. And we would like to ask you, if you can, to write us. You write us at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee 37621. And if you do send something for this, you just put on the bottom of the check, flour and oil. We know where it's going, or feeding centers. We know where that's going, and we'll get it there. And we greatly appreciate all that you've done. Want to thank you one more time. Trust you've had a good Thanksgiving. I trust the Lord to give you a wonderful Christmas. Anyway, then also, if you would, you can write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And at this time, we're going to go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church, and we're going to play a song and have a message, and we trust it'll be a blessing to you also.
Hark, I hear hope sweetly singing, softly in an undertone, singing as if God had taught her, it is better farther on. Night and day I hear her singing, so my heart may hear it. It is better farther on, when my faith took hold on Jesus, like this. And I know since that glad moment, it is better farther home. I have plunged into the fountain flow.
Good to be here tonight. I'm glad I'm here. Feels good to be in church. It really does. And, you know, we were singing about how beautiful heaven must be. And I assure you, God is very real. And heaven is a very real place. And there's only one way to get there. And I was thinking earlier, you know, God the Father, He accepted what Jesus did for me. He accepted that. He accepted what His Son did for me. He accepted it.
Yeah.
And that's all he'll accept. That's the only way to get there, to heaven, to that beautiful place. Is there's only one way, and you got to go through the Son of God. I mean, because that's all he will accept. He's not accepting your good works. He's not accepting your good living, your moral life, all your things you think. He accepts his Son and what he did on the cross for mankind. That's what he did, the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection, him bearing your sins in his own body on the cross and all. That's all God will accept. And that's all he wants from you. He don't want a lot from us. He wants us to believe the gospel.
Yeah.
Believe that from your heart, you'll be saved. The other thing, people always wonder, well, what's the will of God for my life? What's the will of God for my life? What am I supposed to do? Well, he said that in 1 Thessalonians, he said, in everything give thanks.
Yes, sir.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Yeah.
That's the will of God for you, concerning you.
Amen.
Just be thankful.
Amen.
That's all. He don't want a lot from you. If he wants you to do anything, he'll let you know. Believe me, and if he lets you know, you'll know.
Yeah.
But God's good, and I'm thankful. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. I'm going to that beautiful place.
Amen.
Yeah, it's just because I bowed my knee. The Son of God just let that pride go and just got saved. I mean, God did it. I can't explain it all, but I remember where I was, and I remember the experience I had, and I appreciate God doing that for me. I appreciate the Lord. And I did have a little something on my heart out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that's your brother. Now, here he's talking about, it's pretty plain, he's talking to Christians. He's talking to saved people in the church, brothers and all. And he's talking about when one has a matter against another, he says, you know, basically he's telling them about you don't need to go to court in front of the unbelievers. I mean, he said, it'd be like me and Brother Mike going into business together or something. And maybe one day I thought, well, he cheated me a little bit or something. And, you know, we, instead of going to one another and working it out or working it out in the church, you know, we go to court downtown and just have it out in front of all the unbelievers. I mean, that's what he's telling them here. You know, don't go in the court and the law in front of unbelievers. He said, just, you can judge it yourselves. You can take care of this matter yourselves. But I want to skip on through that. That's just, he's just giving them some instruction here on how to operate, how to do in the church. And in verse 9, he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I imagine, you know, a lot of preachers that probably preach this stuff, you know, he's talking to unbelievers here. He said, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He's talking about unbelievers here. He's not talking about a backslidden Christian here. He's not talking about some Christian that maybe they're having problems in the flesh, and maybe they've gone out in the world again a little bit or whatever. He's not talking about that. He's talking to the unrighteous here. He's talking talking to the, my God, he's talking to the ones in darkness here, the unrighteous. I mean, you're righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, God said he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that you may be made the righteousness of God in him. I mean, he's saying down here, he named some things down here, and he said the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I mean, but he gets on down, he said, and such were some of you. Now, some preachers that probably preach this, that, you know, see, if you don't live right, you're unrighteous. If you backslidden again, you lose your salvation. Cause, I mean, my God, you're unrighteous now. You can't inherit the kingdom of God. I got news for you. You're going to slip and fall in this lifetime. You're going to scrape your knee in this lifetime. You're going to sin in this lifetime. I'm not promoting it. I'm just saying sin goes a lot deeper than just getting drunk and dope and all these things. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I mean, my God, if I was to preach on all what's been, if I was to get on the spiritual stuff we do that's wrong, my God, that's a lot worse than them fleshly things we do. But anyway, he's not talking about the unrighteous like some of them will. They preach that. Like if you die with one unconfessed sin, you'll go to hell. I've heard people say that. They go to churches where it's preached, there's stuff like this. But he's talking to unbelievers here. He's talking about the lost. That's all I knew how to do when I was lost and out in this world. God said in Ephesians chapter 2, ye who hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the unrighteous children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I mean, he said we all walked that way at one time. There was a time when we were all unrighteous like that. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us, he's quickened us and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. And it's by grace you save through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My God, he gets in here in verse 11 and he said, you know, he names all these things, and drunkards, revilers, all this. Verse 11, and such were some of you. See, that's past tense now. He said, such were some of you. You used to be that way. That's all you knew. You were in darkness. Your eyes were shut. You didn't know God. You didn't have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. You walked in darkness according to the course of this world, the prince and power of the air. You were blind. He said, such were some of you. But see, God did something to you. He performed a spiritual operation on you. I mean, my God, he said, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. My God, he said, you such were some of you. It's past tense, but he said, now ye are. You're washed. That's what you are now. You're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. It's all in Christ Jesus. I mean, he did an operation on you. He separated the flesh and the soul and the spirit in man. He said in Colossians, and he said, ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. God did. I mean, ye were a lot of things, but he said, but ye are now. You're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. An operation's been done on you. You're different now.
Yeah, glory to God.
My God, I mean, everything is in Jesus now. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, he said, but of him, of God the Father, he's talking. Of him ye are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. It's all Jesus. He's your wisdom. He's your righteousness. He's your sanctification. He's your redemption. He's everything for you. My God, you're not going to lose something God gave you.
Amen.
You're sanctified, washed, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And he said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. All those things I just named up here, this stuff. Fornicators, idolaters, all this stuff. You're not under the law.
Right. Amen.
The law was fulfilled. Christ fulfilled that for you.
Amen.
You're not under any of that law. He said, all things are lawful for me. I can do any of it.
Amen.
And I think people misunderstand what we preach here sometimes. Amen. We're not promoting going out in this world. Living out in hell out here in this world. He said, all things are lawful for me. I can do it.
Right.
He said, but all things are not expedient.
Right.
In other words, he's saying, but all things aren't good for me.
Amen.
There are things out here in this world that will harm you.
Amen.
There are things out in this world that will hurt you severely.
Yes.
There's things out here in this world that will kill you. Watch what you partake of. Yes, you may be saved. You're okay. You're going to heaven.
Yeah.
But watch. Don't experiment out here in this world is what I'm trying to tell you. I speak from experience on this.
Yeah.
I didn't get this off the internet. I got this out of living a real life.
Amen.
There's things out here in this world that you can experiment with. You may experiment with 5 different things, 10 different things, whether it's dope or liquor, or there's a lot of things, the list goes on and on. And out of those 5 or 10 things you fool around with, there'll be at least one of them that'll grab a hold of you and it won't let go. And you'll want to give it up. You'll want to get out of it. You'll want to quit it. You'll get in deep over your head where you didn't want to go. It took you further than you ever intended to go. And there ain't a thing you can do. You'll beg God to take it from you. Sometimes He might, sometimes He may not. And you'll be left to struggle. And it's a battle from then on. It's a struggle the rest of your life. You may get victory over it. You may not.
Amen.
It'll be a battle. It'll be a fight. It'll be a struggle with your flesh. And my God, you don't have to go through that unnecessary. That's totally unnecessary for you to have to go deal with. I know. I speak from dead experience on this. You don't need that battle. You don't need that warfare. Best thing you could ever do is just stay with God.
Amen.
Stay in the church here.
Amen.
Stay with the Lord. Forget this world out here. It's got nothing for you. All that's out there is just heartache and agony and death.
Yeah.
That's what all that stuff brings. Paul said, all things are lawful for me. Jesus paid the price. It's paid in full. No strings attached.
Amen.
Honey, you ain't under the law.
Amen.
You can dabble whatever you want to. But there is consequences to it.
Amen.
But not all things are expedient. Not all things are good for me. Yeah, I can go out here and get drunk if I want to tonight. And if I wake up in jail tomorrow, whose fault's that? Not God's. If I run my car into a tree and get my arms cut off or something, whose fault's that? I'm the one that picked it up and unscrewed the lid and sculpted her down. But that has nothing to do with your salvation. You're saved. Jesus paid that in full, 100%. He's your justification, your sanctification, your wisdom, your righteousness. It's all in Him. And that's all God will accept. That's all the Father will accept is what His Son did for you. But He accepts that. And He put you in Christ. And He accepts that part. But He said, but not all things are not expedient for me. Not all things are good for you out here. You're better off if you never touch about anything out here in this world, really. You're really better off if you never put your hands on it. There's things I wished I would have never touched, but I did. There's things I wished I'd have never seen. Things that I can't forget. They're there. See, Adam and Eve, their eyes were open. Son, they weren't the same after that. They didn't know good or evil before that. They didn't know either one. Son, when their eyes were open, it was a different ball game after that. Less you see out here in this world, the better. Less you touch, the less you partake of this worldly mess out here, the better. You're better to stay with God. Stay with God. Because I assure you, you start playing with something out here, something will grab a hold of you and it won't let go. You may can dump the other 5 or 10, but there's going to be one, and the devil will make sure of it, that that'll be your little thing that he'll make you miserable with, and it'll be a fight. But it's an unnecessary fight. My advice to you is just don't touch none of this stuff out here. And we're living in a very dangerous day, too. You're just better off to stay in the church, go with the Lord.
Thank God that'll help you. And that's right. Amen. It's good to find out. I said it earlier. I'm glad when I found out I saved, when I got saved. But I was glad I found out really what He'd done for me. I lived in that bondage for years. You had to do right or God won't bless you. And I was doing my best, everything I could. And I was in misery. I was holding a meeting, helping another guy in a meeting. We was holding revival. And he got up there preaching that junk, talking about God turning you, His back on you and all that. And I've told you all this stuff. I went home that night. I went in a bedroom. I locked the door, and I was going to stay there until I got something from God. He come by. That's when He gave me that scripture. It said, mark them which teach doctrine contrary to which you have learned, and avoid them. And I was holding a meeting, and I didn't go back. The next night, I didn't go back. My turn to preach. Pastor of the church called and said, where was you at? I said, I got a question for you. Did you believe what you heard, night before last? Did you believe it or didn't you? Because I'm out from under that bondage. I'll quit before I'll continue in this. So he said, well, he's sick and he won't be back. He said, would you come finish the meeting? I said, well, I'll come back for a night or two. And I went the next night and I told him. I didn't preach just a few minutes. I said, look, it's one way or the other. I said, but I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe your sins are gone. If you're saved by the grace of God, your sins are gone. God's not mad at you. He's not trying to break your leg. I heard that. When I'm saying that, he said, God broke my leg so that I'd do this. God didn't break your leg. You can't drive, buddy. Well, we trust you've enjoyed the message this week. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And until next week, God bless you.